are listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 5th of June, 2022. Good evening, everyone. Hello to everyone logging into the chat room, and good evening. It's great to see everybody there. I see Peter there in the chat room there all the way from Australia. Good evening, Peter. Right, my guest on the show is a lady called Sunny Galt. And Sunny is the newscaster on United Network News for Kim and the team, and giving us an update on a weekly basis of what's going on in the world, the real information, not the fake stuff you hear in the mainstream media. So it'll be great catching up with Sunny in a few minutes, and we'll have a chat about what's going on and basically her experience of waking up to what's going on in the world, the real truth of what's going on. Before we do that, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, folks, you know the website, circleofwhitelight.com, also circleofwhitelightradio.com, and you can find us on patreon.com/COWLR and PayPal on the website. If you like what you hear and you want to support the show and keep the plate spinning, then a donation is much appreciated. Thanks very much. As you know, we do allocate a percentage of the funds every month to a worthy cause, like it could be a homeless charity, or it could be a suicide charity, or it could be a local community group. And as we try and do everything being transparent, then obviously if you pop over to the website circleofwhitelight.com and click on the pay it forward option on the menu, you'll see a list of all the groups and charities that we have donated to since December 2019. And I think the total now is roughly about €13,000, give or take, that we have donated to worthy causes. Because it's all about helping each other and about paying it forward. And if we can help out, we can. So a big thank you for everybody who donates to the show. You know, we are trying to do our best in the with the resources that we have, as you know. So thanks for doing that. And if you want to support also the radio show, by buying a t-shirt. T-shirts are available. As you know, if you send me an email to contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, and the t-shirts are €10 plus postage and packing. Obviously, go on the website. If you want to know what's happening, obviously, if you go to the website and you type in your email, you can subscribe. And then any information that we put out regarding guests or donations that we make, then you can be part of that as well. You'll get an email on that. Whew. I think I'll have to record that in future, because it's always, I know I say it every week, and the regular listeners, they're probably fed up with me saying it, but just for new people that might be tuning in that don't know, it's always good to say it anyway. Okay, right. Now, a couple of things before we bring Sunny in. A lady posted up on Facebook, and it's obviously something from a medical book, and it's got to do with the monkeypox. And it says, this is what it says anyway. It says, monkeypox, a smallpox-like disease due to a virus which occurs in monkeys kept in captivity. Since 1970, when first reported, fewer than 100 human cases have been recorded. Most of these have been in Zaire, and all have been in the equatorial rainforest of West and Central Africa. Zaire, Libya, Sierra Leone, Nigeria, Ivory Coast and Cameroon. The case fatality rate to date has been 17%. It does not appear to be highly infectious, and it is not thought to be a great risk to humans. So if that's the fact on monkeypox, and they're going to try and push it out as a bit of a scare mongering regarding the dangers of it, and again the fear porn, you know, they use fear. Well, I've talked about this time and time again. They use fear which shuts down your prefrontal cortex, which means fight or flight syndrome comes in. Your critical thinking of, you know, what do I do, fight or flight, you know, and people go off and get vaccinated and get the jab and everything else because they're not critically thinking. And that's the problem with what they do with fear. And that's why they use the fear and push it out 24/7 on the media. And that's why we have to switch off the TV, switch off the radio and think about it. Speak to people about it. Put your mind in gear and critically think. The problem is a lot of people like outsourcing their thinking and their research to the government and the mainstream media, as you know. Because it's, you know, to think takes energy. And people don't want to take that energy. They don't want to think. They just outsource it. Right, okay. The other thing is, and you probably heard the news about this, the WHO pandemic treaty was not ratified due to pushback from leaders, countries, and even Twitter users. It is being tabled until 2024. It won't ever be ratified in the Hall of Records, so it doesn't matter what they say in the media, it won't happen. So there's a good chance that it's not going to call true anyway, because, again, we'll talk to Sonny about it. Sonny's been doing reports on United Network News, and Kim would not ratify any of their treaties anyway in the Hall of Records. So they might turn around in the media and say that it's now legal, but it won't be legal. What we need is obviously the enforcement to stop that, you know, if they do try and attempt to do anything. But again, I don't think we're going to go back to the whole lockdown thing anyway. I think people have had enough. More and more people I'm hearing, people that have got the jab, got the vaccine, you know, maybe they've had two or maybe they've had the third one, but they're saying, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not getting the jab. It doesn't matter if they bring in four or five or six or whatever. We're not doing it. And too many people damaged as well by the vaccine as well. One lady, my partner, a friend of hers said her brother-in-law had a stroke and he had just recently had the booster. And he was 2 days in his house before they found him. And they put it down to the actual booster that caused it. So, guys, I wouldn't be too keen going down that road again. I'm sure a lot of people are kind of waking up as well about it. Okay, just my week. So I mentioned last week I was going down and I was starting Tai Chi. So I started Tai Chi and it might look easy on YouTube. Well, when you're not fit, which is me, it shows, it really does. But we'll see how we get on in the next few weeks. You know, it's all about kind of energy flow and getting the exercise going. And apparently the shapes that you do are all fundamental to pyramid shapes, which is all about energy, which I didn't know about. Okay, so, you know, I'll let you know how I get on with it. But, yeah, first lesson was last week, quite interesting. And it is kind of tough on the old muscles as well. But that's only because I'm unfit. So more of that, I think. But as I get older and as we get older, it's important that we do make sure that we do things that, you know, keep our muscles active, because the one thing that affects a lot of people, elderly people, is muscle loss. This is why they're on Zimmer frames and they're shaking, because their muscles, don't use them, you lose them. And so using the muscles in any shape or form is a good idea as you get older. And the other thing was my window ledge garden with lettuce and broccoli has started the show. I mentioned it last week. I started it and I'll keep you posted on that. I know it's going back to basics, but, you know, it's on a very basic level because I don't have green fingers. But I did want to start something. And I've seen these people actually doing grown gardens on the window ledge. And I thought, well, it can't be that hard. Now, I know it's a bit out of season. But look, it's worthwhile giving it a go and see what happens. And they are growing. Now, obviously, I'm going to have to transplant the broccoli because the broccoli is going to grow quite big. But I do have a kind of planter for that anyway, so it's not too much of a problem. But I'd rather grow something that I would eat than things I wouldn't eat. And I was down in the men's shed. We have a little plot in the local community garden where the shed is. And I was down with a couple of lads there yesterday and they were growing lettuce and they were growing strawberries. And we had a few strawberries straight from the actual plant itself. You know, I mean, there's something so natural, you know, and very kind of earthy about being able to just pick something from a plant and eat it without going through the whole process of getting them from bloody Supervalue or Tesco's or somebody like that, you know. You just take it straight from the plant. It really is satisfying. So we'll see how it goes anyway. And I've also been revisiting the whole idea of solar energy charging, you know, the whole idea of electric cars. Now, you know, the petrol over here in Ireland, it's just gone nuts. It's now €2.09 for a litre of petrol over here. And it's just gone ridiculous. But again, the Hegelian dialectic problem reaction solution, we all know it, you know. The whole idea is that they create the problem and then the people go, what are you going to do about it? And they go, hey, why don't we do this? So they want people to go for the electric cars. So, you know, if petrol was cheap, then why would they go for the electric car? So they put the petrol up really expensive, and maybe there's going to be down the line a bit of scarcity on the petrol as well. And all of a sudden people start looking at electric cars. Now, electric cars are very expensive over here in Ireland. As you know, they're incredibly expensive. But the government, again, you know, talk about kick you when you're down. I was driving down to Dublin on Friday, and they had a major police checkpoint on the M3 on the way down. Literally, there was about four or five cop cars. They were doing breathalyzing. They were doing diesel or petrol. They were dipping the tanks to check the diesel and the petrol. And they were obviously looking for tax insurance and everything else. And there was loads of cars on the side of the road that they obviously had pulled over or they were looking to check. Now, I was fortunate enough. I don't know whether my face fitted or not, but they looked at my car and just waved me on. I was lucky enough. But there was a lot of cars and a couple of cars. One car on a car tow they obviously were taking. So, you know, and people are finding it very, very difficult at the moment with the way things are. As you all know, it's very difficult financially for a lot of people. And maybe, okay, they didn't pay the road tax. So what? You know, big deal. But again, you know, Big Brother comes out. It's all about revenue. It's all about the money. We all know that. But we leave the we let the politicians rip the country off and we let them do what they do, because anything that's got to do with, you know, chasing after the politicians or even criminals cost the taxpayer money, and they won't make money with these people. So why do you want to arrest a burglar when you can arrest somebody with no tax and get revenue from it? Now, maybe I'm being a bit simplistic with that approach, but I mean, if you think of the logic of it, you know, I mean, they need to make money. They have no money, and Sonny will probably agree with me on that. I know Kim said it so many times. They have no money. The governments have no money, so they have to look at ways of making money. And of course, it's always the car driver that always gets hit a lot of the time. So just be on the watch out for that. Obviously, they're on a bit of a move. Now, it's a bank holiday weekend as well. So, you know, they'll be looking for people drink, driving and all that kind of stuff. Now, I don't agree with that at all, as you know. But for, you know, they're looking for an excuse to find people anyway to get revenue. So just be on the lookout there. Be careful. Right. Now, I have I'm going to bring in my guest now. Now, Sonny Galt. Sonny is passionate about helping humanity. She is proud to be part of Lifeforce United Network News, where she and messengers from all around the world share the truth of what's really happening in the world. Sonny grew up in a Christian home and attended church every week, which I didn't, a lot of us did. We were all told you have to go to church. If you don't go to church, you go to hell, or something like that. And but something seemed off. In her mid-20s, she began really seeking God, but it wasn't until nearly two decades later that she finally had her big spiritual awakening. This changed everything, as did with me, a spiritual awakening. I went through that kind of process as well. And now Sonny is on a mission to share her personal story and empower others raised in religion to overcome oppression, embrace humanity and love others. Sonny is also podcast coach and mentor. She is the founder of Independent Podcast Network, where she helps podcasters grow and monetize their shows. Prior to podcasting, she was an award-winning broadcast journalist. Sonny lives in California with her husband and their four children. Good evening, Sonny. How are you?
I am wonderful. Hi, Alan. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
That's okay. Listen, thanks for coming on. Much appreciated. I think it's long overdue. We were doing that kind of conversational ping pong on Skype, trying to organize a time of date. You see, that's what I call it. When you have a good interview and you bounce from one another, I call that conversational ping pong.
I like it.
I have all these kind of nicknames. Now, here's another one for you, right? Because you're a journalist, and well, for me anyway, as a radio host, and trying to get guests on can be very difficult. So I call it conversational foreplay. If I'm trying to get a guest on who doesn't really want to come on the show, so you have to kind of, you know, massage the ego and all that kind of stuff. Because trust me, there are people out there that are like that, and you have to kind of, you know, do that. But I've been successful in some cases, not all cases, but we've got them on and done interviews. But I know you're part of the United Network News team, and yeah, you're doing a great job. Now, I did say to Sonny, if people haven't seen you, I recommend they at least go over and see you, because I said before we went live, I gave you a compliment, but I'm going to give you a compliment now live on the air. When I first seen Sonny on the UNN News, I really was impressed by your professionalism and the way you came across in front of the camera, and also your very kind of very witty, sarcastic dig at the deep state with a smile, and I love that. I really like that. It's that's really cute. But you come across very professional. As I said, you really have raised the bar now when it comes to getting the local news bulletins from people all around the world. But we are, at the end of the day, amateurs to a certain extent. So nobody's an expert. All you have to do is we do the news and report on it. But we are going to get into that, because we're going to talk about that. We need to get people globally to do that. But yeah, before we do that, the first thing I always ask guests when I get them on is, what was the trigger for you? What was the thing that you made you look behind the curtain? Because obviously the Wizard of Oz and all that. What was that thing that you said, hang on a minute, that's not right? Because we've all gone through this, stepping away from the matrix, and there's always some kind of trigger. So what was it for you?
It was COVID, but it wasn't when it first came out. So it has a little bit of a story. You want me to tell my story,
Alan? Yes, go ahead, yeah.
Okay, so COVID comes out, and, you know, again, I have this background of, you know, being raised in the church, right? My whole life, I, you know, had thought about what we would call the end times. The church calls this time period like the end times, and all this stuff is supposed to happen, and it's God versus Satan and everything.
The rapture.
So
yeah,
I've been waiting for the end times. We're supposed to be living in the end times. I've been waiting for it. So when COVID came out, I'm like, okay, we're supposed to have famine and pestilence and all this kind of stuff. Is this one of the things that's supposed to happen in the end times? So I did take it seriously. I was not awake, you know, at that time. I thought the government was there to help us, and, you know, a little naive, obviously, and wanted to do my part, right? So in the beginning, I'm wearing a mask and whatever, and, you know, just kind of going with the flow with everyone else, totally, you know, uprooted our lives just like everyone else. I've got four young kids, so they all came home, you know, and trying to help them with their studies, trying to keep up with my main job, and, you know, just function, right, with this crazy thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. And throughout my whole life, though, God has always been there. When I say God, I'm talking about creator, source. I know we have a lot of names, but growing up in the church, we called him God, and so that's just kind of my little name. And so he has always been a huge part of my life, regardless of whatever the deep state was doing that I wasn't aware of at the time. He always found a way to find me and connect with me. And so I had that throughout my entire life. And so one day, my husband and I and our kids, we're in our minivan, and we're driving down the highway. I'm in Southern California. That's where we live. And there's a new church that is off to the side of the highway. So I see it. And when I see it, God says, I want you to go to that church. Now, we had belonged to another church for years. It had been closed down because of COVID. But I was like, well, what does that mean? I'm supposed to go to that church? I don't really understand. But I did have this, you know, when you can't go to your church for a while and you're used to, like, you know, going every week and, you know, hanging out and praise and worship music and all that. And, you know, I miss the church body. I miss that idea of being with other believers and connecting with God. And that's what church meant to me. And I did miss that. So I was like, okay, well, God says I need to go to that church. Well, my husband was not on board with that plan. My husband was watching the news. My husband is not awake, still not awake to this day. And he looked at me like I was crazy when I said, you know, I think I'm supposed to go to that church. And he said, well, you can't take our kids, you know, and he was really trying to talk me out of it because at this time, you know, this was, let's see, I think it was like November of 2021.
So it's quite recent then that this all happened.
Oh, actually, no, I'm sorry. It was November of 2020.
Okay.
Back up a year.
Still recent though.
It was, yes. My whole awakening, you know, happened very, very quickly.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I was like, okay, well, I think I'm supposed to go to the church. And so I went. It was a Sunday. And this was a church, by the way, that was making headlines for being open when they should have been closed, right? So They had reporters out front and all this kind of stuff, which I didn't care about. It was a church that was open. And I felt like God told me to, you know, go to the church. So I did. Had a good time, stayed for service, did everything, you know, you typically do in a church kind of environment, met a bunch of people. Nobody was wearing masks. Nobody was doing, you know, social distancing or anything like that. And then a couple days later, I start not feeling very well. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on here? And so I told my husband, he's like, well, you should probably get tested. And again, I'm thinking COVID must be this real thing, right? So one of the pestilence things that we're expecting in the Bible. And so I go get tested, and I turn up positive for COVID. That's what my test showed. And all of my family got tested too.
Okay, can I just ask you, was that a PCR test or was that an antigen test?
I believe it was PCR test.
Okay.
Yeah. And so everyone in my family got tested, and I was the only one that was positive. And I was like, well, this is really strange because if you watch the news, they're going to say that, you know, this thing is so contagious that, you know, you have to quarantine and then you even got to stay away from people in your house. Well, we did end up quarantining, if that's a word, from the rest of the world. But I did not distance myself from my kids. Like, I'm a mom who loves on her children. I'm just very lovey-dovey, hands-on, kissy-kissy. I drive them crazy, right? And none of that was about to change. And they still didn't get sick. Nobody got sick. And I was like, what is going on here? This does not match up with what I'm hearing on the news. Mm. And at that point, because I had a strong relationship to Source, I just started praying about it. And, you know, when I say pray, I don't necessarily like do, you know, what kind of the church teaches you. You know, you bow your head and it has to be like a somber kind of thing. I just talk to God. And the first thing that popped into my head, this isn't a word that I used back then. It's a word that I use all the time now, is discernment. And I started to pray for discernment. And just ask God, what is going on? Because somebody's lying here. This is not my experience. You know, what they're saying on the news is not my personal experience. And that's what I know, right? That's what I can see. That's what's right in front of me. And so I started to pray about that and started to get some information, right? And to back up just a little bit, over the last, you know, from this time and before, God had been kind of taking like the mainstream media out of me, if that makes sense. So, you know, it started with music and he's like, do you really need to be listening to that kind of music? Is that really helpful? You know? So I'm like, yeah, no, not really. So let's not listen to that kind of music anymore, you know? And then it went to like TV and movies, you know, maybe 6 months later, it's like TV and movies. So he'd been kind of weaning me off all this stuff in my life that had been influencing me. And I didn't even realize it, right? When you're in that programming kind of mode and setup, you know, the trick is they don't want you to know you're programmed.
Well, right? here's the thing, and I just want to jump in with this because you have a background in journalism and you've been involved in it. So if anything, it's probably even harder for you to get away from it because that's your career, that's your background. And for you to question your background and your training, and this is a common thing psychologically where people don't want to turn around and go, I was wrong. You know, because they invested so much time in, you know, their career or the area that they're interested in. So that was a big step for you to question your background and your training and everything else.
Yeah, I think it was. I remember when Trump was kind of going through and campaigning for his presidential run, and we started to hear all this stuff about fake news. When that started to come out, I got really defensive at first for that very reason, Alan, you just mentioned, because I went to school to learn how to do the news. Mm. You know, I didn't want to admit or think that something that I had invested so much time and effort into was hurting people, because that wasn't my personal experience. See, when you're in the small TV markets, which was kind of my story, right, working my way up in the small markets, you don't see what the big guys are doing. It's not like I had CIA agents, you know, at my TV stations, right?
Okay.
I mean, that's not my experience, right? I saw people working their tails off for not a lot of money and trying to do the best job they could. And so I got very defensive when people started saying fake news.
Okay.
And it took me a while to understand that.
So I'm sorry for jumping in, but I'm going to kind of dissect this because it's very important because you work in the media. Was there any time during your mainstream media career that there was any editorial that was stopped or something that you thought should be read out and you heard that the editor or whoever said, no, we're not going to do that story? I mean, and there was a reason given, or it was just, no, you're not doing that and that's it. Did that ever happen?
There's nothing that stands out in my mind because most of the stuff we were doing was very, very local. And the places, the cities that I mainly worked out of were fairly conservative. So I didn't get a lot of pushback, but I will tell you a story of like a red flag that I saw. And this happened my first day in my very first newsroom, first day on the job. So I just graduated college and I was hired on in Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, right? So you've got the lower part of Michigan in the U.S. and then you've got the Upper Peninsula. So I was way up there near Canada. Okay. First job, literally just graduated, you know, walked the stage for graduation like the week prior. Now I'm in a newsroom and I was hired on as a news anchor and reporter at age 22. And so I go into the newsroom and, you know, they're kind of showing me around. It's kind of a small newsroom and they take me over to this kind of monitor. Okay. And it's got like these news stories going across it or whatever. And I'm like, well, what is this? And they're telling me that this is the AP, Associated Press. And I'm like, okay, well, what's the AP, right? Really didn't have that in school. So they're telling me, oh, this is like, you know, all the, you know, the basically the main narrative. I don't think they use those terms, but you know, this is where we get the bulk, you know, pretty much all of our national news. It all comes through this.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I don't understand. Like, why aren't we like getting this information in a way where it can be vetted? We're just taking this information and like, who is the AP? And I don't think we had Reuters, but Reuters is another, you know, avenue that some, you know, news departments subscribe to. Yeah. And it just didn't make sense to me. I'm like, I realize we, you know, we're a small station. We can't be in all places at all times, but you mean everybody is just taking their word that this is the reality of whatever the situation is? Everybody is getting their news from the same place.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And so it was my first red flag. I was like, what the heck? They didn't teach me that in journalism school, right? You're supposed to dig for your stories and verify them and have sources and, you know, I mean, like, what is this? So that's the one thing that, you know, looking back on, I was like, oh my gosh, like they were already teaching journalists to not question certain things. Hmm. The main stuff that, you know, goes through, which, you know, they're not necessarily going to report on something local unless, you know, it makes national news, right?
Yeah.
So that was really surprising to me. But I don't recall any news stories that I did that would have been, you know, I covered a couple things. We had a lot of flooding there because we would get a lot of snow in the Upper Peninsula. And then so any stories that I did that would have made kind of national stuff would have been about flooding. And, you know, it's the same story. You know, you go to the place, you know, in the town where the water's really, you know, high, you know, so it looks, you know, it's like you're kind of lying to the public because it's a good visual, right? Mm. So everybody's kind of trained to do that, which isn't truthful. But that's kind of what you're told to do. And then if your story is impactful enough, then it gets on this, you know, news service so other TV stations can pick it up and see your stuff. So I had a couple times where my stories did go out, but, and who knows what they did with it at those stations, right? Just because I put it out there as factual from, you know, the information that I got, they could have totally changed it. I would have never known.
I think it does a difference now. Maybe years ago they reported the news, but these days, because of the ratings, they're actually making the news, or they try and make the news or make it as worse than what it is, as you say, to sensationalize it. So it has more of an impact and they get viewers watching the TV station because of the competition.
Oh, absolutely. I was just traveling recently last week, and I never watch regular news. Okay. I don't even go to their websites anymore. It depresses me. So I don't even do it. But when I'm traveling, I do like to flip through the channels just to see, cause I don't get cable. Right. So I like to kind of just see what they're doing. And of course, everything was about, you know, the shooting in Texas, and they just hammer this stuff all day long. That's all they do. And I would check back just for a quick review. Okay, now it's the afternoon. What are they talking? Oh, same stuff. Mm. You know? Yeah. And I was like, how do people, like, no wonder people are so scared and living in fear. If that's all you're going to take in, you're going to be consumed. Like you mentioned earlier, Alan, it is, you know, you're kind of in fight or flight. And
exactly.
You're in survival mode. They feel like there is a pandemic. And, you know, and guns are everywhere out to kill them. That's what they feel right now.
And that's the trouble. I mean, again, you know, it's the magic trick. And I've said this regarding COVID, is that it's like they're using the group in the UK is called SAGE. And over here we had NEFID. And these are a bunch of consultants, psychologists who will work together to find what's the best way to manipulate the public. And fear is always the big thing. And they will look at ways to try and manipulate, because they know that, you know, when people are in fear, their prefrontal cortex gets shut down, critical thinking goes out the window. And this is what they're doing. And this is why the best thing people can do is to switch off the telly, because what they're telling you is a load of rubbish, you know. And I know people say that, oh, well, surely they can't do that. They will be fine. But look, everything is owned by the elites and controlled. I mean, the government over here in Ireland anyway, we have a semi-state body of the RTE, which is the main broadcaster. And it's a semi-owned by the government because they fund it. So, of course, they're going to do what they're told, or they'll get their license revoked or pulled or whatever. And that, I mean, even RTE over here are in disarray at the moment. Because people are beginning to switch off. They don't want to listen to it anymore. It's the kind of energy that comes from it. And of course, if the government are telling them what to read out, they'll just go ahead and do it because, you know, they're the paymasters at the end of the day. So you can't rely on the media. And this is why UNN, which we'll get into, is important, because you're going to get the news straight from the horse's mouth. I'm not being insulting when I say that, but it's coming direct from source, from Kim. And I know you and Kim work together, and Kim reports, gets the information, and the two of you put the show together, which is great. And it's refreshing because you know that the information you're getting is going to be firsthand and truthful, rather than the rubbish that, you know, we get on the mainstream.
Exactly. Alan, do you remember, I think this is kind of making the rounds on different Telegram channels and stuff, but there's a video of like newscasters from across the country. Okay. Well, maybe even, you know, past the United States, but I remember seeing ones in the United States and they were all kind of saying the same message. Do you know what video I'm talking about?
Repeating
verbatim the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I remember that, that video.
That's another wake up call for me because, as you know, in addition to doing the news, you had to do all these promos that they would run on the television stations, and they would just give me these kind of scripts to read. And I don't know if I actually read that exact script of what's in that video, but I had to do that stuff all the time. I had no idea, you know, that, you know, I mean, if you look at who owns all the TV stations, see, that's the thing. You've got to look at who owns what. And especially when it comes to media and the corporations and stuff like that, because it really is a select few. And then they push out whatever messaging they want. I mean, on one hand, you have to hand it to the elite of being very organized, I guess, in one way, because they've been able to, you know, convince most of us that, you know, whatever we're seeing on the news is legit and nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this is why myself and Liam have talked on the show about why the hierarchical model doesn't work. We're all used to this. In the corporate world, which is my background, or my ex-background, my old background, everything, you know, you have the board of directors and you have the staff down the bottom, they're at the top. And what we have to do is we have to flip that. And this is why we talk about the fluid cooperative model and empowering people so that doesn't happen. But trying to change people over to the cooperative model when they're so used to the way the hierarchical model works is going to be a major task. But look, I'm happy to be get involved in that, as Liam is, and we've been talking to other groups about it and what's involved, how it works, what you do. Liam's put it into practice in his own businesses and he's having great success with it. And this is why for hundreds and hundreds of years, they have maybe thousands, they have got away with it because the one can control the many. And this is what happens in the media.
Yep, absolutely. And we've been letting it happen, right? So I like to think of what we're doing with United Network News is taking that power back, you know, taking responsibility for ourselves and saying, hey, you know, we're fully capable. We all have these little things in our hands that we paid $400, $500 more for, right? These iPhone thingies, right? Mm-hmm. We can go outside. We can record what's happening in our backyard from our own perspective. You don't need a college degree to do this. Trust me, they really didn't teach me. Most of the stuff I learned from literally working at TV stations. And I'm not even saying that's the best way to do it, right? But we all know how to record video with our phones, take photos with our phones. You know, we can, you know, we are the news, you know, and we can get the information out there without it going through a select few. That's how we got into the problem, you know, in the situation that we're dealing with now. You can't leave it up to a select few. It always gets messed up.
Well, unfortunately, this is the problem with statistics show, and historically, it shows us that 20% of the population is always the 20% that makes the change or manages to change society. There was, I don't know whether you've seen the interview, there's this guy was Swedish or Norwegian. He's a psychologist, and he looked back in history at the empires that we had, Egyptian, Roman, English, and he said that of all these empires that fell, it was always the 20% of the population that caused that to happen. So if that's going to happen today, it's going to be 20% of the population to actually cause that to happen. That was his research and his statistics. So, it's only going to be 20%. So, well, what I have to ask is, after you've had your awakening, and it was quite soon. I mean, that's only, you know, it's only a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
What has been the reaction to the family? Have they thought, oh no, Sonny's gone and lost the plot?
Yes, they do. I am the only person in my family that is awake, minus my oldest son and perhaps my middle son. So I mentioned earlier, I have four kids. And so my oldest son is 11 and then my middle son is 10. And they know the truth because my oldest son always wants me to update him at the end of the day when I'm tucking my kids into bed. My boys share a room. And so I'll go in there and, you know, he'll be like, okay, Mom, what's going on today? You know, and so they know the truth. And, you know, it's been interesting. Going through the awakening process as a parent is a little bit of a challenge because as you're waking up, you know, there's different layers that you kind of come up against, right? So when you're digging for truth, you know, you dig a little bit and then you find some information. But a lot of times that's still the cabal, you know, knowing that some people aren't going to believe their main narrative, right?
Yeah.
So you got to dig a little further. And then, you know, you got, so you have to go through a few layers. And I kind of found out the hard way because I, you know, started to do some digging and then I come across something and, you know, then I kind of rushed to tell my son, oh, this is the truth, right? And then I'm like, oh, later on, I'm like, no, so that really wasn't the truth either. And, you know, your kids, you know, they, you know, my kids are still young enough where they think, you know, I'm supposed to know everything.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to educate them. And then sometimes I have to go back and be like, oh, maybe that wasn't exactly what I thought it was, you know? So, it definitely is, you know, it's a little difficult sometimes, but, yeah, my family, you know, when I first started, you know, after I got COVID, I realized, you know, or at least my test was positive, whatever I had, right? I started to, you know, research information online. And because I didn't have a lot of, you know, again, like I said, God had been kind of encouraging me to take a step back from, you know, the music I was listening to, the, you know, the movies and the TV I was watching. And then the last thing was to get off social media. And so I wasn't even on social media. I completely took myself off of all platforms. And so I had to go searching in some of these alt media places for information. Mm. And one of the things that I came across that really like took everything to a next level for me was the series The Fall of the Cabal. And so I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I haven't seen it, no.
No. Okay. So it's a series. Oh my gosh. They've come out with a lot of stuff, but I think it was over a 3.5-hour series in multiple parts that I watched, and it kind of went through everything, chemtrails and politicians and all, you know, all this kind of stuff, immigration and what they were really trying to do with all this. And from there, I mean, I just like sat there watching this, like with my mouth open going, is this real? Like how could we be so blind? If this is truly happening, they have really pulled the wool over our eyes. So I was just kind of dumbstruck by watching this thing. And it gets to a point in the series where they're like, oh, but the White Hats are going to come in and save the day. And once it got to that part, I was like, yeah, I don't think I believe that.
Yeah.
But I do believe this other stuff they're saying. It makes sense that they're poisoning us, that they're hurting our food, that they're hurting our air. Right, that the news is outright trying to find shots and staging events. Like, again, a little bit of a blow to my ego because I was like, oh, well, I was kind of part of that group for a while, you know. But all of that kind of started to make sense.
It's a big wake up. There's a couple of things there I'll touch base on. One is when it comes to the kids. I was the same with my son with information, and my son's kind of open to what's going on as well. And because over the years, as he's grown up, I've been saying things. But the best way, before we went live, I was telling you about, you know, we went down the rabbit hole, and we, you know, at the start, like all of us do, we push on, here's chemtrails, here's this, have a look at this, and people go, you're a nutter. So we decided to put together what we call the fluid belief system. Based on psychology and what way to approach it. And the regular listeners know about this. I've talked about it time and time again. So the best way that I approach it now with myself and people say, look, this is very easy. This is what I know today. Tomorrow might be different because something might come in that might contradict what I know today. But as of today, this is what I know. But that has to be fluid. So once your belief system, and all your belief systems are fluid, they all have to be fluid because our ego wants to protect us. So it keeps us in that kind of bubble. But it's only when we step outside our comfort zone is when we start learning. And a lot of people like the cognitive dissonance. Oh, I'm nice and comfortable here, and I just want to believe all the lies because I don't want to believe that if you're right and I'm wrong, and the media do lie, well, that means that I believed that for the last 50 years. You know, and I get into the psychology of the child mind and the adult mind. But when you're dealing with the kids, I found, and with people, I just say, look, this is what I know today. Now, that could change tomorrow, but this is what I know today. So as long as you keep your belief system fluid, that's the main thing. So that's the way I approach it from the kids' point of view. And educate people that way, again, using that system. What was the other argument? What was the other thing you were saying? You were saying about your so you have friends and family, and you were saying about obviously your kids and you know, educating them, and the COVID thing, whether you had the PCR test, and we know that they over amplify that, you know, over here in Ireland, right, with the government, you know, they over amplify it, and it'll pick up the flu that you had 2 years ago, you know, so that was kind of a waste of time. Now, there was something going around, because I do have a family member that suffered from this long COVID thing, and they were quite sick with it, and they had an ambulance called a couple of times because of breathing issues. So there definitely was something going around. I can definitely vouch for that because I've seen it firsthand with a family member. As to what it was, I don't know. And as to why nobody else in the family got it apart from that person, I don't know. So whether it was something got to do with, because they could have been a medical issue that it was, they were affected, but the COVID, it was attracted to this medical issue. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, they're saying that COVID was affecting people that had certain respiratory issues and stuff like that. And maybe that was one of the reasons. I don't know. So there was something going around. And,
yeah,
and hand and heart will say that. I know people said, oh, it's just the flu. But no, this was something that I've never seen before with this family member. And so there was something on around. But 96.9% or 98.9%, whatever, of people who got something, you know, they lost the sense of smell, lost the sense of taste. They over after a couple of weeks, they were fine, for the majority of people anyway. So the waking up process is very hard, and again, your social media and what's been said, I've been caught out with that. As I say, you know, I've thought one thing that must be the truth, and then you tell people and you find out 2 weeks later that was rubbish. Or here's a typical example, right?
Yeah.
A video went around, and I sent this over to Kim, actually, Kim and Liam, and there's the World Health Federation, or the WHO, and one of the guys, Klaus Schwab, was on it with this other guy. And he apparently was saying that, oh, yeah, our aim or our goal is to remove 50% of the population, and everybody started clapping. And I went, oh, that's interesting. I'll send it over to Kim and Liam, let them have a look. And then it was a member of the assembly team over here said to me, oh, they said, Alan, you might find that there's a rumor going around that was overdubbed.
Yeah.
And I went, okay, well, I won't take that for certain that's the truth. So I let Kim know and Liam know. So look, ignore that, because it could have been overdubbed. It might be true. I mean, they are that arrogant, because we have the Georgia Guidestones in 10 languages saying we're going to reduce the population 500 million. So,
right,
you know, the game, I mean, they are that arrogant to turn around and say it, and people just won't believe it. But
yeah,
just to err on the side of caution. So even now, after all these years that I'm doing it, sometimes I get caught out, and it's just human nature. It's just one of them things. But you put your hand in the air, go, oh, sorry, made a mistake, got that wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and,
well, yeah, it's tough when you know that that's what they think, right? So
yeah,
are they actually coming out and saying it today? Or like you said, are they putting it on some stones in Georgia? Or, you know, how are they going to get the information to us today? I mean, because that's part of the thing, right? They've got to tell you all the horrible stuff they're, you know, going to do to you, or it's going to happen to you. You know, so it's like, well, you know, he's thinking that whether or not it actually came out or not.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is the thing. They have this universal law they have that they have to get our consent, or it's all assumed and presumed. Basically, mm-hmm. like the law, legal system anyway, everything is assumed, presumed until you say no. So the answer is yes until you say no. And this is how they do it. The universal law is, we're going to tell you what we're going to do to you. And if you don't stop us and say no, we're not going to, we don't want you to do that, we're just going to assume that the answer is yes.
Right.
And yeah. That this is it. So tell us, so you opened up and you had all this issue with the family, and obviously they thinking you're a conspiracy theorist and all that kind of stuff. And how did you come across UNN?
Well, I mean, it was kind of part of just my search to find information, right? I had taken down everything that I usually referred to for information, and I realized those were no longer trustworthy sources. So then I'm going out on all these other sites, which really didn't help me, because when I was trying to wake other people up, I'd be like, well, this one site said it, and then what's the first thing they say? Well, what site? You know, and then so they equate things being correct or accurate with it being a well-known site. But the well-known people are never going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you're kind of in this battle. And then, you know, I would say, oh, it's this site. And they're like, well, I've never heard of that. So, you know, that's a conspiracy theory or whatever. So I was trying to find my place in all of this, right? Because once I woke up and I realized, okay, this is what's really going on in the world. I didn't think it was coincidental at all that I happened to be somebody that my whole life had been kind of seeking the truth in a journalistic sense, right? And now I've got this whole other mission, if I choose to accept it, right, to share this information with other people. So, you know, I just was looking for people that I thought knew what they were talking about. And like most of the people that are probably listening to this program now, you know, there were a lot of things I tried and it didn't work. You know, I'll listen to this person for a little bit and, oh, they're just pushing Trump's agenda, you know, and I was a supporter of Trump. I really was. But I never thought, because of my Christian upbringing, I never thought he was going to save us. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
That was Jesus's job. Jesus saves, right, according to the church.
Yeah.
And so I never let anything really, you know, come across that. That was a very specific and line that I had drawn in the sand. So I started to see through a lot of the truthers and stuff. I would, you know, just go on BitChute and YouTube and whatever and try to see if I could get information, because we're all trying to figure out, okay, we live in a crazy, crazy world right now. What in the world is going on? You know, the people that are awake, that's what we want to know. And so I found myself in that situation just searching for videos. And I came across Kim's video that she did, and I believe it was part of a Life Force meeting, but this was the video had kind of been extracted, where she was talking about the front end of the system and the back end of the system. And I had never heard anything like this before, right? But I wondered, you know, how are these horrible people getting this money to do all this stuff, right? And so it made a lot of sense to me, and Kim seemed very knowledgeable, and it really just kind of stood out. And I really didn't do much with it at the time. I just thought, oh, that's really, really interesting, and kind of went about my way. And it was interesting because I did share the video with a couple of people, and they're like, you know, some of these other, you know, more Christian type of people, producing different types of programs, you know, online. And they're kind of combining truth, you know, they're like part truther, you know, and then part Christian, and they're trying to equate it to end times and what's going to happen next and Revelation and all of this. So that was kind of the crowd that I was hanging out with for a while. And I remember sharing Kim's video with a couple of those people, and like, oh no, we don't go there. We don't touch that. Mm. And I thought it was really strange. I was like, well, why aren't you trying to figure out what the truth is? Like, this seemed to be truth to me. I recognized it as truth. And so there was like a red flag for me for these other groups. I was like, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, you can't just say, oh, well, we just don't go there. Why don't you go there? You know, why not take a deeper look at this and see if it's real? So then that got me questioning all of that. And I will say that my whole waking up process like everyone, it happens in stages, but the like the Christian side of my waking up and really taking a closer look at Christianity and the history of Christianity and everything that I've been taught, you know, everything's supposed to, you know, all the Bible stories, all that kind of stuff. I felt like that happened a little bit later than what I call like my geopolitical, economical, like waking up, right? So first I woke up to, oh my goodness, the world is not what I thought it was. These are crazy Satan worshipers that are running everything. Okay, that was like my first wake up. And interspersed in there was the Catholic Church, which I've never been Catholic, but, you know, it's close enough to Christianity that, you know, definitely some red flags were raised there. But I couldn't really go there with Christianity yet. I had to process everything that was happening in the world. You know, I had to separate my religion from that because I couldn't have everything crumble on me at the same time. I knew that there were red flags. I knew I was going to have to deal with it. But I also didn't know how I was mentally going to get through this first awakening without relying on what the church told me. So I'm very like, when I'm not on a mission to try to destroy people's religion and their faith, because thank God I had that, really, because that first waking up process, I was in tears for days, okay, of all the lies and all the people and the children that were being hurt. I mean, as a mom of four kids, like that was heartbreaking for me. And I had to go, Jesus, what are you going to do about this? What are we supposed to do with this, Jesus? And if I didn't have that, you know, I truly don't know what I would have done. And it took me a while, and kind of once I felt, I don't want to say comfortable with the news, because you're never comfortable with hearing about this horrible stuff that's been done to us for such a long time. But once I, you know, had kind of gotten over the initial shock of that, then I could go back to my faith. And I knew I had to apply the same scrutiny that I was applying, you know, to all this other information that I had discovered, you know, all the research that I was doing to learn more about chemtrails and adrenochrome and, you know, satanic ritual abuse and all of this horrible stuff that's happened. I knew I had to go back and look at Christianity in that same light. That if I wasn't, that I really couldn't say I was seeking truth, right? Because if you're going to stop somewhere, you know, and you're going to say, oh, I can't go there. I can't go there. Yeah. Maybe you can't go there for a season or for a period. I totally respect that. Again, that's exactly what happened to me. I knew I couldn't go there in the beginning.
Well,
but then once.
Well, going there is actually challenging your belief system. The reason why you couldn't go there is because the ego was stopping you from doing it for that time being. You know, it's saying because, you know, you invest all this time in a belief system, your religion and everything else, and you grew up with it and everything else. And then you're kind of, you know, you're biting at the bit because, you know, as you say, maybe that was the last thing that you had to go to. You knew you had to go there, but for some people, they won't go there. Now, one of the things that you said earlier on was about, you know, the TV show you're watching, and it's all kind of putting all the pieces together. And it was one of the things that I always say, this is a big, massive jigsaw. And there's a TV program that we have in the UK, and it's called Catchphrase. And Catchphrase is basically a game show where you have this jigsaw on the screen, and when a contestant gets a question right, one of the jigsaw pieces is removed and you have to guess what the picture is behind it.
Oh, yeah.
So I normally say to people, I say to them, do you know that TV program? They go, yeah. And I go, right, okay. So when you look at these, this thing is all these things are all interrelated. Globally, they're all interrelated. But what you're doing is you're saying you're looking at one piece of the jigsaw in isolation, and then you're giving your opinion, because a lot of the time it's only an opinion, not a fact, because fact is when you have the evidence. But they treat their opinion as it's a fact. You know, oh, I don't believe that. And you think, well, do you have evidence to back it up? No, I just don't believe it. And I said, well, that's your opinion. And as I always say, opinions are like arseholes. Everybody has one, right? So, but I say, so I talk to them about Catchphrase, and I go, right, you're you're looking at one piece of the jigsaw, or one piece of this jigsaw, you remove one piece and you're trying to guess what the picture is. And I say 9 times out of 10, you're going to get it wrong, because you're only seeing a very small snippet. It's only when you start looking at all the other pieces of the jigsaw and researching, you realize that they're all related. So as you take each piece out, you see a bigger picture and you got a better chance of saying what it is. So again, just applying a bit of psychology rather than talking about the content, because I did say, obviously, beforehand and obviously on the show, that arguing over, you know, whether the moon's made of cheese, you'll argue all night. And mm-hmm. people don't want to challenge their belief system. But like you, when I had my kind of awakening, I mean, I didn't sleep for, you know, probably 24 hours, you know, because I had all this download of information coming in. And at the end of it, I thought, okay, we're screwed. But it was 2 weeks after that that I kind of got involved on the spiritual side. And I thought, okay, now I can see there's a solution here. So it's mm-hmm. not. So I got involved in the spiritual side. And that's how I kind of learned more about the kind of spiritual energy and all the, you know, all that kind of side of stuff. Because I was never into religion anyway. Because I knew, you know, religion was fundamentally wrong in some kind of, in certain ways, you know. I mean, the idea that you had to go to a box to speak to a priest to tell him your sins, you know, and then you have mm-hmm. to, you know, fear God, but you have to love God at the same time. I mean, you know, it didn't make sense, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I didn't bother. And then obviously all the abuse in the church and all that come out, you know. I just want to mm-hmm. say to people, if you have a question for Sonny on the chat room there, just put the word question, you know, the usual, and then I will be able to see it there and I'll ask a question for Sonny. But so for me, it's more of spiritual awareness. And the other thing is the stage which we go through, and this is the way I define it. First of all, you're in the matrix. And yep. then you become aware, and the awareness is about the New World Order and the elites and all that. And then you become self-aware, which is all about who you are as a spiritual person in this 3D world and everything else. The problem is that we have people that go from the matrix to they become self-aware, and they don't understand why why they're self-aware and why they're being asked to do what they're doing, what their job is down here. And when you approach them and tell them about the cabal, they call you a conspiracy theorist. And I think, but you're the person that's speaking to dead people and you're calling me nuts, and I've more evidence than you. You know what I mean? So again, you get into that's why I love the logic, because you can't argue with logic unless somebody shows me a better way to think logically. Being an IT guy, I'll always look at things logically. And when you look at them, and I have used this kind of logic approach for people to explain certain things, and you go, well, I can't argue with that. It's logic. And I go, yeah, exactly. But yeah, some of them will still be tied to certain things because they have invested that time in a belief system. So yeah. they're reluctant yeah. to move away from there. But I'm going to go over. I have a question here for you, Sonny, from Peter, who's in Australia. Good morning, Peter. Very early in the morning for Peter. And he said, Sonny, do you think when TVs went to digital transmissions from analog, we lost the good sources of news? Now that we have gone all digital, all the news comes from one place. Back in the analog TV days, the separate broadcasters went out and got their own news. Do you believe we went to digital to push the New World Order agenda, since everything comes from one service or one source?
Yeah, that's really interesting. Thank you for that question. I hadn't thought of it. I hadn't thought of it like that. I think it's probably a combination of things. You know, they're always trying to make things cheaper, right? So they have greater profit. I mean, everything's about money with these corporations. Yeah. So, I mean, when I first started in TV, I was still using tape. I was using tape. It wasn't all digital. And so I know, you know, the money that they had to invest in, you know, tape only lasts for so long and going out and recording on it and all that kind of stuff and all the problems that you have. And then if you have something physical like that, usually you have to drive it back to the TV station or whatever, as opposed to sending it through a digital signal like that, somehow converting it. So possibly, you know, that makes sense, that, you know, it would just be one more way that they could disseminate whatever message they wanted to disseminate far and wide, right? But it goes both ways, right? They can put out what they want to put out, but we can put out the truth in the same way, right? So I always find it so interesting that whatever the cabal is up to, they usually shoot themselves in the foot. Right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, let's create the internet, you know, and all this. Well, you know, now we're using the internet to wake people up. So, yeah, you know, I'm sure that there were conversations about that. And, you know, how do we, you know, improve our message and get it out there? And could digital be part of that? Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'm sure they used whatever they could. But I think the key is that they can't win. They can't win. Like, good will prevail. And that's always very comforting to me. Doesn't matter what they throw at us, which is why I can be kind of cheeky when I give the news, because I know that their time is up.
Yeah.
Right. And I hope they realize it sooner than later, because it's really kind of sad what we're seeing right now. You know, they keep doing the same tricks over and over again, expecting different results. And I'm pretty sure that's the definition of insanity.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, you really did throw yourself in the deep end, because some of the information that, well, actually most of the information that Kim reports on is very, very high level stuff. And,
yes,
you know, I always say that people, everybody's on a path of knowledge, and some people are further down the road than others. And the thing is that if somebody has just woken up, like you with COVID, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't attempt to go to somebody like you and say, by the way, I know you've just woken up about COVID and you're questioning things, but here's Area 51 and we have reptilians here, right? Yeah, I just wouldn't. It's too much of a jump, because they're not ready for that information. So for you to go from just woken up to be talking about this high level stuff with Kim, that is a major jump.
Yeah, no, I mean, it really is. And there were definitely levels, like I said, you know, I wasn't giving up there for a while. You know, you mentioned, you know, how did you find Kim and Life Force and everything? That one video that I saw, the reason I didn't push it more and learn about Life Force is because, based on my religious upbringing, I had a really hard time accepting ETs. In fact, I was going more down the flat earth route at that point, based on biblical, you know, Bible verses that I had seen that I, you know, were kind of mistranslating to mean that the earth was stable and immovable, things like that. There are some verses that are in the Bible like that. And so at the time I was thinking, well, the Bible is 100% truth. Nothing, you know, is in there that could hurt us. So therefore, you know, that's kind of the path that I was on. So while the thought and, you know, of, you know, a huge universe and everything was so appealing to me, and it made total sense on one hand, because Creator God is a very creative source, right? And he created all of us. And so, you know, the idea that he would just stop at Earth really doesn't make a lot of sense. But that's what was, you know, kind of holding me back. And it held me back for, I mean, not a long period of time, right? But for about a year. I mean, I had seen Kim's videos and whatever, and I didn't act upon it because, again, I had not gone back to Christianity. I had to deal with Christianity. And until I dealt with it, I could not accept. I mean, I really wanted to believe that God just created us and that was it. You know, and then you've got some spiritual things going on. You've got angels, you've got demons, you know, Christianity really tries to simplify everything like that. And that I could wrap my head around. But then when you add all these other dimensions and worlds and things like that, then, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, well, there's a whole other story to this. So yeah, it took me a little bit of time. And I do feel like all this kind of happened in stages. But once I made that decision, then I had to do a lot of research. I had to, the way I had to process things is I had to go back to the Bible and I had to look at various translations. And I went back to like original, you know, Aramaic or Hebraic translations and realized how far away the Bible had got. Even the King James Version was so far away from the original writings I was like, oh, well, oh, come on here, guys. Like, you're changing the whole meaning of a verse when you use this word as opposed to this word, right? And then when I learned that, the different names for what I thought was creator God, you know, using terms like Jehovah and Yahweh and Elohim, that those were ET names of different beings and not creator God, then I was like, oh, okay, all right, now that makes a little bit more sense, right? And I started opening this whole other can of worms. And when I accepted that and, realized that, yeah, Jesus was a real person and he came here to tell us that we could have a direct relationship with God and we don't need all this other stuff, basically we made a religion out of Jesus when he said, don't make a religion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he said, you can do what I do and even more.
Yes!
And we had that. Basically, you have the ability like I have to do this. Now, I'm not a person who would be interested in the Bible because, after you kind of look into the meeting of Nicaea where all the Christians, the Christians got together and agreed on the one book, and before that they were thrown to the lions, and Emperor Constantine wanted the Christians on his side and his mother sympathized with them, so he made it legal and they all got together. And when people look, see, we would go in and look at the history of this for Christianity and what happened. But a lot of people who haven't done it will argue the point. And you think, well, have you gone and done the research on this? And they go, no. And they go, well, how can you turn around and argue with me when I've gone and done the research? I mean, show me your research. And this is what you're up against. It's the dogma that they're told all the time by the religious leaders, and you just kind of believe it. And even, concerns of, what they say in church, when they say we eat the body of Jesus Christ. Well, that's cannibalism. Yeah. We drink the blood of Jesus Christ. That's vampirism, So you have to question what's being said, and the whole idea of people given the power to these people, and we have to take our power back and realize that we have a one-to-one connection, and it's nothing got to do. We don't go through a third party. Sorry. The only time I do that is when I have the internet. Otherwise, it'll be a direct spiritual connection. And having been involved in the spiritual side, and I ran my own spiritual development circle for a few years as well, to help people develop the psychic abilities and to connect with source. When you kind of do all that and being involved in that, you realize that there's a bigger power out there. And as you say, they took over religion. They could see that you could manipulate people with this. And there's some great examples out there to give it explanations of how it can be done. And people can be easily manipulated because a lot of people don't like using energy. And when you know that, then it can be easily done. And, I mean, we've seen it in World War II with Hitler and the propaganda and how he controlled all these people, So it people can be manipulated. And COVID is a typical, this is the recent example, how people, through fear, can be manipulated and controlled. And the belief system is pushed out there and they believe it because they trust the media and trust the politicians. And they seem to forget about history. But I have another question for you that's come in, and I will read out here. Joan wants to know, do you think the situation between Russia and Ukraine is for Ukraine to join the EU so all governments can take on Russia? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I feel like they're all on the same team. Right. I mean, we're given this illusion that it's Russia versus Ukraine and then the U.S. is separate, when really it's the cabal, the elites against us. Right.
Yeah.
So I really don't follow, honestly, the war stuff that much because of that, because it's just lie after lie. And I get frustrated with all of their lies. So I think they want to start World War III. I think they want to bring all of us under their control, and I really do think it's that simple. I'm sure there's little politics that get in the way, whatever, Putin's, the savior right now, or this person's the savior, and they're kind of doing their little battles, but I don't get caught up in it. I just, I know the end game, right? And I know they're not going to reach the end game. And so what I try to focus on, even though yes, we're giving out the news, and we do have to talk about some of this stuff because we have to be knowledgeable. Because we don't want to, you know, we don't understand our history. We're condemned to repeat it. That's their whole plan, right?
That's
it. Tell them their history. Don't tell them what's going on.
Yeah.
So we have to get the word out there. But I like to focus on, well, what are we doing? What can we do to help humanity, right? Focusing on wars, focusing on shootings, focusing on shortages, starvations, things like that, that's going to do nothing but bring our vibration down and make us feel horrible. And then we are not the beautiful, sovereign, creative beings that God created us to be. So who knows the latest, you know, of what's going on over there? I just know that they're all on the same team pretending not to be, and it's just one big lie. So are innocent people getting hurt? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's why we, you know, collectively need to focus on the good, because we need to hold space for those people. So when, you know, when they do wake up, and whatever that means for them, that we can hold space for them. And, you know, Alan, you mentioned the 20% earlier. I hope it's not 20%. I've heard different numbers thrown around as far as what we need to be at in order for, you know, more and more people to wake up and kind of cross that threshold. But what I find very empowering right now, and we talk about this a lot with what we're doing at United Network News, is our connection to source, you know. Amazing things are happening that people can't see right now. You know, different contracts and things that have been in place for hundreds of thousands, even millions of years, are now done, right? The lower astral, the beings in the lower astral are literally taken out. Okay, so these horrible entities that these people would call on, these cabal people would call on to carry out their missions, they're calling them, and no one's picking up on the other line, right? No one's answering their phone. So we're really just dealing with nasty humans right now, right?
Exactly.
And I feel like it's a more even playing field. So I'm like, you know, if we quit giving them power, they lose it. They don't have power. The only reason they have power is because we give it to them.
Yeah.
So if we start focusing on good stuff and taking back control and changing our planet for the better and helping humanity, they lose. Well, so they can't start their little wars.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, this is it. This is the one thing that I get asked regarding the funding and everything else. And I go, look, at the end of the day, you can't roll out anything good if you have a neighborhood and you have a bad element in the neighborhood. There's no point rolling out anything good, because the bad element will go and destroy it. So what you do is you tidy up the neighborhood, get rid of the bad element, and then when they're gone, then you can start the resurrection of certain things out, the restoration of certain things out. So when the divine timing, when it's right, it's right. And then when we think it's ready, I mean, I'd like to think we're getting there now, where everything that's going on and the levels that have been removed. Now, a lot of the people like that you see in the public, the minions, like the politicians that we see, yes, I know people have asked me, why can't we take them out? Because every day people are suffering. I know they are. But when you have only a limited amount of people doing what's going on the planet, trying to help the planet, then there's only so much that you can do, so many hours in the day, and there's certain things that are priority that you have to concentrate on. And if this is a big pyramid and you have to be cutting each layer off the pyramid, unfortunately, the minions down below, the politicians, are way, way, way down the bottom. And the people up the top have to be taken out. So unfortunately, it's going to take time. But I will say that when people are kind of critical of Kim, I go, well, show me somebody else in the world who's doing what she's doing and has been doing what she's been doing for the last few years. You know, getting the assembly teams together, UNN, everything else. Show me somebody else in the world who's doing the same thing. And they just have no comeback. They can't say anything. I go, well, then what's your problem? You know, I mean, I always say to people now, it's not what people say, it's what people do. That's going to be the game changer going forward. Talk is cheap, and it is cheap. You know, there's people out there that are just full of, things they're saying, they're doing and everything else, and nothing is happening. Because when you see people doing it, like UNN News, yourself, Kim, and the team, and Lisa, I've had Lisa on the show, everybody's doing their bit, trying to push forward and get the world back to some kind of stage, back to some kind of level, and getting people aware of the, you know, getting their plans together for the restoration, so there's no gap between when the system comes down or when the elites go and then we come in. Hopefully there's some kind of overlap somewhere, so it does not that void in between. And I know Kim mentioned that before. So, you know, show. So if I will say that to anybody else, anybody who's listening on the show, show me somebody else who's doing what Kim's doing, and I'd like to see them. And
yeah. Absolutely. 100%. And I also want to encourage people, because there's so much happening behind the scenes, and so much of it would, you know, would be very confusing to explain. Even when Kim does her updates, you know, and Kim and I are chatting about stuff, there's a lot of stuff that I'm learning about for the first time and trying to figure out how this, you know, connects to this. And oh my gosh, I didn't even know about this. Right. So there's a lot to process, but I do want to encourage people that the big guys at the top, and this was a very, very, very big pyramid. Okay. have been taken out. The people that really did the damage, and certainly, you know, the malevolent ETs and stuff, are no longer here. Right. And the people that have made their choice and chosen to go against humanity have been taken out as well. Even a lot of the people that you see on the news, those are doppelgangers. Those are people in masks. Mm. A lot of those people have been taken out too. But it's in their nature to just replace it. Right. They've got a narrative. They're trying to go along with the narrative. But you can only do that for so long. And that combined with our connection to source and the alignment of Earth, you know, Earth has a spirit, and everything's coming into alignment right now. And that is extremely powerful in allowing people to see the truth that has been behind this veil for our entire lives, right? And so I know sometimes it gets frustrating and we're like, when is something going to happen? Like, they're sticking to their narrative, and, you know, this is just a longer than we would like death. Okay. Exactly. I know we all want it to be over, but they can't do anything to us really at this point. Okay. It is going down. Some people are going down with the ship. I think, you know, I haven't heard a lot of great stories about people converting and suddenly seeing the light. So they're going back to source. Right.
Yeah.
And it's this, you know, kind of a beautiful thing, if you will, that's happening. And it's certainly a great thing for humanity and our planet. So I know it's tough because not all this stuff is hitting the news. But again, that's what we're trying to do with UNN is to bring more of this to the light and be more encouraging and uplifting, because we have so much to celebrate right now. It may not feel it, but hopefully as the days and then the months go on, we're going to see less and less of their craziness, because they just can't keep it up forever. And they are, like you said earlier, Alan, they're out of money. Okay. They can't do this crazy stuff without money. They are, you know, combing the whole planet right now, trying to see who has money to do their little Dr. Evil deeds, you know, and the people that they would typically hire, they're starting to say, no, you know, show us the money.
Yeah.
And they can't.
Exactly.
So what are they going to do?
Exactly. Exactly. And a lot of people are changing sides because they're not being paid. So
yes.
they're, you know, all their minions and certain people, the mercenaries that they hire, they can't pay them. So, you know, loyalty is changing, which is good to see. Right. A few more questions for you that's come in.
Sure.
Okay. Joan wants to know, question, has Sonny read the book The Dead Sea Scrolls Deception by Michael Bagent and Richard Lee? Very interesting.
I have not. I would love to know a little bit more about that. I did take a trip. Let's see, when was this? This is a while ago. I think I was in my mid-20s. I'm 44 now, so maybe 20 years ago, I went to Israel and saw part of the Dead Sea Scrolls, or what they allege. I'm not even sure the truth behind all of that. So I have a little bit of experience, but I've not read that book.
Okay, no problem at all. Shane wants to know, question, do you think the MSM is falling apart and losing the battle for the minds of the public?
Oh, 100%, right? I mean, what is CNN at now with their ratings? I mean, it's so ridiculous. I don't even know how those people are keeping the lights on right now. So, and we see that too in more and more people coming over and finding the information that we're putting out. You know, it's not happening at lightning speed, but it definitely is happening. You guys have probably seen it just in talking with your friends and your family. Even though I wouldn't classify people like my husband as being awake, when I mention stuff to him now, he actually takes it a lot more seriously. So he's kind of my barometer of what the world is thinking right now. But he now is listening to music at 432 hertz and letting me rub essential oils on his feet. And
Listen. If you're doing that, I'll come over. I'll be happy for you to do that.
You're welcome anytime, Alan. I don't know how you're going to get here, but you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, how do you get over there? Oh, we have monkeypox. Oh, they're going to stop people there. Okay. Next question. Funny enough, you must be psychic because CX said, or on the chat said, how is it going lately with your immediate family? Where are they at? So you just said, well, there you go. If you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, my husband, I still wouldn't classify him as being awake, but slowly but surely, I've talked about this in another video we did with UNN, but I do what I call breadcrumbs, and this is something that I would recommend to anyone who's trying to wake up loved ones, where you kind of give them, you leave them little breadcrumbs, right? So I'll notice something in the news that isn't that far, you know, conspiracy theory-ish, you know what
That's
I mean?
It. But exactly, it just, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a little bit that gets them thinking a little bit more outside of the normie box, right?
Yeah.
And so I'll leave these little breadcrumbs, and then I trust that when they want more information, when, you know, they start waking up a little bit more and their connection to source grows stronger and stronger, I believe that will happen. And then they can come back to me or, you know, some of the things that I referenced in the past, some of those resources, and find the truth. So I like to leave little breadcrumbs, and I am noticing more people are coming back and, you know, just asking me some more questions and, yeah, it's happening for sure. So yes, thank you for asking about the family. It's definitely happening.
Well, you're going the right way, because what I normally do is I will find out what annoys them. What's the thing? Are they happy? Are they unhappy paying tax? Are they only happy with their TV license? Are they unhappy with X, Y, and Z? And then I'd find out information, because there's always going to be information related to it. And they, you know, say your husband turns around and goes, I'm paying tax. Why do I have to pay tax? And then what I'd go is say, okay, well, Aaron Russo did a documentary called Freedom to Fascism, where he went on the search. He's the director that made the movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy. And he did a documentary about why you don't need to pay tax in America, and you didn't pay tax up to 1913 until the foundation of the Federal Reserve. And he found out that the IRS were, you know, scammers, and people who worked in the IRS said there's no law because it was never approved in 1913 regarding paying tax. And you don't have to pay tax. But what they do in America, as they do over in most countries, is they send in the goon squad, you know, if you don't pay a tax, and they send you a letter and stuff like that. We had over here, we had people who worked for the revenue, Inland Revenue, which is the tax people over here in Ireland. And when we said, well, where's the evidence that you have to pay tax on your labor? Not tax on corporate profits, but on your labor. And the people in the revenue laughed and said, oh, we'll go and find it. And they came back to us and said, we can't find it. We can't find the law that says you have to pay tax on your labor. And then you look at the history of tax in Ireland and you realize there is no law because it was always voluntary. I won't get into that, but in America it's the same. So maybe your husband doesn't like paying tax. So there you go. There's something there. Have a look at this Freedom to Fascism, because he talks about Rothschilds and stuff as well. Okay. Now, a question from Joan. Now, I know people are kind of, I'm not being disrespectful to the religion and the Bible. People have their belief systems, and I get that. Joan said the Bible is a great historical read, Alan. And yes, but people have to remember that parts of the Bible were written by the Pisa family, which was 200 years after Jesus Christ. So if you did something and then 200 years, in 200 years time, somebody wrote about it, how accurate would it be? So this is why you have to question not only the Bible, but you have to question the parts of the Bible that were never released because it didn't fit in with the dogma, which they're probably tucked away in the in Rome, in the Vatican, never to be seen, because they will actually probably expose certain things that they don't want you to know about. So
yeah,
all this, and I've been in Rome, I've been over to Rome a couple of times on business and a bit, doing a bit of sightseeing and all that stuff. And I'd kind of, you know, so you have to kind of, again, question the same bit. I think in the book of Genesis, they talk about the Nephilim, and also there's a quote about we made a God in our image. And I would say, well, who's our image? Not my image, our image. So who's our image? And I actually, my son, when he was in school in the early days, this is going back when he was in secondary school, we had to talk about this in the car going to school, and he actually said that to his religious teacher, and his religious teacher went, oh, that's a good question. So even he was thinking, he had to go off and think about it, you know, and come back. So again, you know, there's hints in the Bible and there's hints all around as to the reality. And there's another book out there, again, take it with a pinch of salt, but there's a guy called Claude Royal, who was a racing driver, a French racing driver in the 70s. And basically he was taken up, he came across a UFO, got on the UFO, spoke to the ETs, and he was talking about how the man was created by five different ET races. And he created a new movement called the Aurelian Movement. I interviewed years ago the chap who represented the Irish part of the Aurelian Movement. This is going back a long, long time. But it's interesting what he says. And he talks about how they can clone bodies and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, just the whole kind of belief system and what we believe. And then there's arguments that were in this quantum program. And it's an advanced program like SimCity that was in the 90s. And it's an advanced race that are running this program. There's so many different ways to view the world and what's going on. And so I just kind of, as I say to people, and you probably haven't heard me say this, Sonny, but I always quote Aristotle, the mark of an educated mind is to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. So instead of being black and white, it's true, it's false, if you entertain it, and go, well, okay, I'm going to entertain that because I have an open mind and I can challenge my belief system and park my ego, but I want evidence to back that up. So entertaining is always good. You don't have to believe it, but you should be able to entertain it because it's healthy to do that. So like you, I've been doing this 21 years and I'm still learning every day, and I've got it wrong even recently, you know. So it's, and all of us are the same, nobody's perfect, because guaranteed that there's always going to be a spin on something. But it's interesting, but it's for a lot of people that have been doing this a long time, it's getting very tiring now, you know. It's it gets very tiring where, you know, when you go down so many bloody rabbit holes, you know, and you see, sometimes you find rabbits and sometimes you don't.
And you're just in a hole.
You're just in the hole and go, well, what am I down here for? I'm going to get out and go find another hole to go down. So you go down a lot of rabbit holes, as people know. And of course, you know, I set up, you know, along with Steve, my co-host, and my old radio show, Open Your Mind. And I still say what I said when we first started. I'm just a dad with a microphone, trying to find out the truth in the world by bringing people on like yourself and speaking to people and say, what's your experience? What do you see? And then hopefully with all these interviews together, we can kind of get some information from it and form some kind of truth from it. That's kind of my kind of my statement to the world with the radio show. And maybe down the line you'll you know, or maybe you have your own.
I love that, Alan. I think as long as we stay curious and keep asking questions, doesn't matter what it's about, but we have to get out of this habit of just accepting things because that's the way they've always been. I mean, I know that was my issue in trying to understand the truth of Christianity, is that part of it was fear, right? Because I was told, Alan, you mentioned this earlier, but I was told, you know, if you don't believe certain things, you're going to go to hell. Who wants to go to hell? Nobody wants to go to hell. That sounds like the worst place ever, right? So you've got this fear. And I remember when I was first starting to question a lot of the things that honestly had been red flags for me my entire life in the church and Christianity, you know, things like communion. I never understood communion. I always thought that was weird, drinking somebody's blood. I didn't get that, you know. Didn't understand the Trinity, didn't understand why this had to be so complicated. Like, why can't we just, you know, go outside and talk to God? Why is this, you know, we never thought that we needed to go through someone behind a wall for our prayers and stuff like that. And so, you know, for me and all of this, it was just, you know, staying inquisitive and really needing to find answers. If I was reading something in the Bible and it didn't make sense because there was just, maybe it was just one word didn't make sense, but it changed the whole meaning of a sentence or whatever, don't just skim right past it. Like, you know, it's there, you know, maybe God is trying to reveal something to you, you know, and, you know, keep asking those kinds of questions. And I think, you know, if you keep kind of peeling away at the different layers and stuff, you're going to get your answers. And like I said, you know, now we've got all these amazing things happening with the earth and being closer to source, because these contracts and these curses, I mean, literally crazy stuff. You'd think that you were watching some sort of crazy movie, are being lifted. And so for the first time ever, humanity has this connection to source that we have never, ever had before. I mean, just think about that for a second. The creator of everything, you now have this direct line that we've never had before. There has always been people trying to oppress us, get in between, curses, stuff like that. But that's been lifted now. So the stuff that we're going to about to see, and the discernment, back to that discernment word, you know, when we start truly applying that, it doesn't matter what the bad guys say. It doesn't matter what the cabal has to say, because we're going to have the knowledge and the discernment to say, that's not right. That's yeah. not right. You know, we're probably going to get to a point where you really don't need news. You just need your discernment, right? We're going to remote view to see what's going on in Russia, Ukraine, and all this kind of stuff. We don't need someone else to tell us. But we're on this really kind of delicate and beautiful journey. And I feel like it's just started. It's a very exciting time for humanity.
It is. It is. I'm glad it's happening. And people say to me also, what if Kim is wrong? And I go, well, then we're going to have a new world order and a cabal running the world, and you'll be controlled. It's that simple. But no, she's not. It's just taken time, because there's layer upon layer upon layer, and it takes time. And when you have limited resources or limited time, it takes time. But we have achieved so much in the last 10 years compared to the 10 or 20 years before that. In the last 10 years, I've seen a massive jump. From starting in radio in 2010 to now, there's a massive, massive difference in what we're seeing with people. And one of the things I'd say is, how do you feel now that you kind of, you're doing what you're doing and you know what you know, how's your social circle? And, I kind of say, I can't get into... I try and avoid scenarios where I talk rubbish. You know, if somebody turns around and says, oh, did you see the soap last night? Or, you know, like, I'm not into sport. The one thing when I woke up, I was into motorsport and stuff like that, but I've no interest in sport whatsoever now. But I do grounding. I go out to my shed and I make stuff and I do all that just to get away, because you have to be able to switch off. Otherwise, it can consume you 24/7, and you have to be able to get away from it and do your gardening or what have you. But how's your conscious frequency now dealing with people who want to talk to you about the crap that's on going on in, you know, soap operas and all that? I mean, how's your patience?
I have no patience, but I'm not rude. I'm not rude. Usually it's like my mom, right? Mm. So I can say certain things to my mom that I probably wouldn't say to other people. But I never was very gabby like that with, you know, a lot of my friends. You know, we all have kids, and so our life gets pretty busy. But sometimes my husband will bring up stuff, you know, and sometimes it's political, or sometimes it's something stupid like what Elon Musk is doing in the news now. And I actually interviewed Elon Musk's childhood babysitter, who taught me some really interesting things about the Musk family. Don't trust them whatsoever. So it's like, it's one of these things that I can see all the different layers, and I try not to be rude, but I also try not to fuel it because it's not helping them, right? Me going on and on about, you know, whatever, or entertaining their whatever they want to talk about, whatever program or whatever, that's not really helping anyone. So I usually try to change the topic of conversation, yes, maybe, or, you know, just talk about the other thing that I try to do. And I feel like I'm saying this all the time, is I hear a lot of people in my circle complaining about stuff, and I try to tell them, listen, you need to make a positive out of this. Or if they feel sick or they feel like overwhelmed or whatever, I talk a lot in I am statements. It's one of the first things that I do every day. I've got a list of I am statements. You know, I am healthy. I am happy. I am secure. I am loved. I am beautiful. I am all these things. Because I'm all about manifesting what you want to have happen. Right. And if you want something, this has happened to me numerous times in my life before I knew really what was going on. I just thought God was blessing me. I didn't really know that I was manifesting stuff on my own. But I manifested things in my life. My biggest claim to fame is I always wanted to have twins. My whole life I was telling people, I'm going to be a mom of twins. I'm going to be a mom of twins. Well, I didn't marry a man that had twins in his family. I didn't have twins in my family. But lo and behold, I became a mom of twins. But it was just like something, you know, you just kind of bring out, and, you know, so I start every day that way. And so if someone's coming to me, that's like my biggest thing that I do right now to try to help people. They come at me with, you know, whatever's going on in their life. And I'm like, you have the power to change that, you know. Start with I am statements. Start with believing in yourself, yeah, you know, that things will change. If you want something, put it out there in the universe. Let the universe know what you want. I do that all the time with different things. And lo and behold, stuff just starts happening. Like, it's not magic. It's how the universe was designed, you know, for beautiful beings that want to help each other. And so that's kind of the thing that I've been doing a lot lately, is kind of turning the situation around. Don't really want to talk about your craziness and all the stuff that really doesn't matter in life, because they have no clue of the beauty of some of the stuff that we've been talking about today, of what's really happening in the world.
Exactly. So don't let the cabal rent space in your head. Change your slide. I always say that spiritually, if a negative thought comes in, just change the slide, like PowerPoint, press the slide and change it. Now, I'm just watching the time, and I know that you want to give a mention out to UNN and local news reporters globally. So shoot away and tell me what you want to say, just, you know, about your what you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. So, first of all, if you guys aren't familiar with us, I know Kim has been on the show and Lisa's been on the show. Different people have been on. But check us out, unitednetwork.news. And we put out different types of shows. You know, Max has a show called Unbroken. She interviews different people about, you know, different things, exciting things. And Lisa's putting out content, you know, helping us with our health and to learn different things like that. As far as the news side of stuff, we are going to be changing things up a little bit and putting out more news for you guys. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. But as Alan and I have been talking about today, such a huge component in all of this is you. Okay. We kind of, you know, got ourselves into trouble there for a while when we said, okay, news people, you go out and you get the news and we'll just believe what you put on this shiny little box. Okay. That time is done. Okay. We have to take, you know, we have to take this back. And the news is really about what we're experiencing in our lives. So we have something called field messengers. And I would love for you guys to think about it. Think if you want to become one of our field messengers. But we all, you know, have these phones in our hands. Like I was talking about earlier, we can all go and tell our story of what's happening in the world. And then we don't need to rely on their lies. You know, their staged photographs, their, you know, videos that never really happened, that have, you know, a dead body that's not really a dead body in the shot. Right? Mm. We don't have to rely on that. You can tell us what's happening in your neighborhood, and we can get the truth that way. And I think we're really changing the face of news with this. So if you guys are interested, what we started to do, we have a Telegram channel that I would love to tell you about. So you can search for it under UNN Field Messengers, and there's something that pops up, should be, for news and ideas. That would be the first step. And to say that you're interested, And then what we've started is we have a whole team of people now that are heading up our Field Messenger program, and they are training people. If you feel like you need a little bit of training, like I said, you can come as you are. You know, don't have to have any prior experience. But if you feel like you need some of that, we have people that can train and answer any of your questions. And then you can be part of the news. That's what we need. We need your story, because that is the truth, right? What you are seeing in your backyard, I believe you over pretty much anybody that's on the news right now, the mainstream media. And so this is one way that you can help humanity. Because when we do that, when we start putting out not just the bad stuff, but the good stuff, what is happening that's good in your community, we collectively raise our vibration, right? We get to where we want to be faster, you know, as a species, as humanity. And that's the whole goal. So that's my little plug. If you guys want more information, check out that Telegram channel, and we can get you started.
Brilliant stuff. Citizen journalists. That's what we need. People out on the out in the field. And, you know, if they come out with a news article in your local country, and then you can go along and film it, but tell the truth, and then put it up in UNN, that would be fantastic. Something that we can all do now with the technology the way it is. I think it's the way forward, where the truth's going to come. But Sunny, it's been fantastic having you on the show, and well done on UNN. As I say, I think you do a great job. I enjoy when you come on with Kim and do the show, and your cheeky sarcastic dig to the deep state is very good. I enjoy that little cheeky smile. It's enjoyable, and I look forward to it. So well done on doing that. And obviously Kim, I know Kim was working hard. Now I will get Kim and Liam on the show in a couple of weeks time, but as I say, I will be paying a visit over to Liam shortly, and I think after that trip I'll get Kim and Liam on, and then we can have a chat and have a catch up on bits and pieces. So is there any links that you want to give out to people, you know, UNN or any other links that may be of interest to people?
Really, it's just the main site, which is unitednetwork.news. We have a bunch of different Telegram channels. So if you guys are searching online, we do have one. Let's see if I can find it. We do have a general one for Life Force. That seems to be our most popular one. It's called Life Force General Chat. So there's always interesting stuff being posted in there. And then, once you are on the site, then, you know, you can kind of go where you'd like. But we're putting out right now, Kim and I are doing an update at least once a week, just kind of getting the basics out there of what's happened in the last week, what you guys need to know, and all of that, you know, you can access through the site. And then, like I said, things are going to be changing. We've got our Field Messenger program, so we're going to be putting out a lot of new content. And there's some really great series that Kim is working on. So she has one called You and Your Consciousness, which talks about how to connect directly with Source and some exercises that she does. I know I have found those to be extremely helpful. Again, go to unitednetwork.news for that. There's also one coming out, not sure when, but about our true history. And I'll be incorporating some of that as part of the news as well, because as we've talked about, and I'm sure Alan has said on his show before, what we've been told is our history is not our history. And so we're trying to break down fact from fiction.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's fantastic. Sunny, thank you very much for coming on. Now, I'm going to the song. I normally play a song, but I'm going to play this song because you mentioned your Christian background. And, you know, being a spiritual guy, I tend to say Source. I just think the word God, which is dog backwards, is a bit limiting for Source. So I kind of look at it as Source rather than God. So this song is from Sister Act, I Will Follow Him. I always think this is a great song. It's a great kind of shake your pants kind of song. So,
it is, yeah.
So I'm going to play this one. So big thank you for coming on. Just stay with me there for a minute, and we'll be back after this.
I will follow him. Follow him wherever. Yeah. he touched my heart, I knew.
Listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go. I Will Follow Him. I actually like that song. I really do. I think they've done a great job on that song, the singing and everything else. Right, Sunny Galt. There you go. Great having Sunny on the show, having a good chat with her about her journalistic background and her being involved in the mainstream media at the start in her career, and then obviously changing sides and coming over to our side. She's doing a great job with Kim over there. If you haven't seen Sunny doing the interviews with Kim, pop over to United News, UnitedNetwork.news is the website, and check out the actual show, because the information is very interesting, very high level stuff, by the way. If you're not used to it, it will challenge your belief system, because it's very high level stuff. But we have to start off at the top of the pyramid and work down, and that's what's happening at the moment. And you know, they are on their last legs at the moment. They're literally throwing everything at us. The baby in the bathwater is being thrown at us, and they are coming to an end. You know, I just think this organically has to come to a finish. From a linear point of view, linear timeline point of view, it organically has to come to a finish. They are finished, but it's just an energetic thing. It'll just come to an end. And that would be it. So hopefully this year, this year will be the year that we see a major change. I know they're saying it's going to get a bit harder before it, you know, starts easing up. I get that. I understand that. Because as they get more desperate, they'll do more things, and more people are struggling as time goes on, with everything they're trying to do. It's just disgraceful how the system is being run. And I don't know how anybody can even think about voting for any of the parties that are out there or any of the politicians. I can't understand it if people say, who are you going to vote for? Nobody, because nobody's worth voting for. Anyway, I deregistered. That's how. You know, that's my protest vote there. I deregister that, as a lot of people are. And I'm just wondering if anybody knows in Ireland, how many people have to deregister before the system just kind of collapses? Because surely there has to be a certain limit on the amount of votes. But then again, they'll probably create votes, put them in the box, and then, you know, say, oh, these, you know, 24,000 dead people voted, and they'd count them as votes. Maybe that's what they'll do. We'll see what happens. Anyway. Okay. Now, on the show next week, I have a lady who I personally met. I was in the Hill of Tara, and I had a chat with her, and she's in our Zoom group. She pops on now and again, and I've asked her to come on because she has a wealth of information in her. She's 80 years young, and she is a food forager. She's an expert forager, but that would be underestimating the knowledge that Ursula has. She has so much more information. She's traveled the world, been all around the place, met so many different people and interesting people. So food foraging is only one part of this. And so I've asked Ursula to come down to the men's shed to teach the men all about foraging. It's always good to know what plants you can eat, just in case, you never know. And so that's something we're going to organise with Ursula to come down. And she is available, even though she's 80 years young, and she's happy if you want to book her to come down and speak to a group of people. And she's going to bring some sample plants and food and stuff like that. And she's even improved her own health by staying away from the medications and doing everything naturally. So phenomenal. Brilliant woman. Interesting. Very interesting. So Ursula's going to be in next week. Something that we've never done, I don't think I've ever done food foraging as a subject in the 12 years I've done radio. So that's going to be interesting. We've done survival and, you know, living on your, off the grid and stuff like that. We've done one of them shows, but that wasn't really got to do with foraging. So this is going to be interesting. If you're really interested in foraging, we'll be talking about that. So Ursula's going to be on next week. So that's the news, folks. I'm going to be doing a bit of Tai Chi next week, taking it easy, you know, as I'm a beginner, and, you know, aches and pains and all that. And we'll see how we get on. Is there any other news? Oh, well, I'll keep you posted on my window planting, my lettuce and my broccoli. And again, I'm looking into the whole, I'm just interested again in the free energy solar stuff as well. I'm kind of having a look at magnetics again and getting a few ideas. I might put something together on that side, see what happens. But so there you go. So that's the news. If there's anything that's of interest, email me at contactus@circlewhitelight.com. And as I say, jump on the website if you want to subscribe to keep up to date on what's going on. You can do that. We'll send out emails and keep you posted. Otherwise, have a good week. Take it easy. Enjoy the weather if the weather's going to be good wherever you are. And stay safe. Pass the word around and share the information. And we'll catch you next week. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Thanks to everybody in the chat room, by the way. I do appreciate you taking your time, 2 hours of your time out of your life and out of your day to come and listen to me gabble on for 2 hours. So it's much appreciated. For everybody in the chat room there, thanks a lot. Much appreciated. And your interaction and the questions, it really does help as part of the interview to, get questions coming in. So a big thanks for that. Okay, folks, take care. Have a good one. And we'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleofWhiteLight.com. Focusing on solutions and thinking different.